The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde. Dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty. With Jamie Glover as Dorian Gray and Ian McDermott as Lord Henry Wotton.
When Dorian discarded his little actress, I gave him a book. In this book, our hero, a young Parisian, abandons himself to a life of sensual pleasure. There is, alas, a price to be paid. As our hero ages, his beauty withers, to the point where he cannot bear to see his reflection in the glass. But Dorian paid no such price. He remained as beautiful as the day when Basil painted his portrait.
I heard Gray was in Paris last month. And that dancer tried to kill herself.
In Berlin, there was talk of a girl with acid in her face.
Did you ever see the young men in Dancer's Place?
They say Gray has been
they
seen...
They say what? Who say what, sir?
Nothing, Gray. Nothing.
Damn you and your friends. At least I know how to live.
And devil take the consequences for others?
Should the devil so wish? Henry, I'll see you in your sister's box this evening.
Dorian.
How does he escape the effects of his debauchery, Lord Henry? We all know him for what he is, and yet...
Perhaps you know nothing.
We know a young man hanged himself but weeks ago, and his sister was sent away to a private home for the insane. He was the cause, and we all know it.
Of course it was. He was accused by their father, and he laughed in the old man's face.
If they only knew. If they could see what I see at home each night, knowing what I know, what I am. Each day I vow I'll not look again at the picture dear Basil painted so long ago. But I can't resist it. It's a drug. I have the keys to the room. I alone can visit it. Behind the screen, under the old curtain, I see my inner self. See the face, bloated and blotched with wine. The eyes dead, the mouth thick-lipped, the teeth rotting in the gums. The picture grows old, decays, while I stay young. Young, beautiful, innocent.
Good of you to come to my soiree.
Could I resist? Don't you always attract the best of society? And the most sublime of pianists. Who is the girl?
I heard her play in Paris last month. I thought you'd enjoy her. As I do.
Have a care, Dorian. People are talking.
Talking?
About you and Lord Rochborough's daughter. She was found in their lake, drowned. But you knew this, of course.
She was such a delicious temptation, my friend. Such a waste.
Have a care.
I care nothing for what the gossips say. Nor society. Men should live as I do. For their senses alone.
The young gather at his feet to worship him, Basil. He's more than 20 years their senior in age, 100 in experience. Yet I defy you to tell it.
He looks exactly as he looked when I painted his portrait.
Impossible, of course. But true.
Now, the story is true. He debauches himself and whomever he touches.
Not me, my friend. Nor you.
I hardly see him now. Not since the portrait. Since you took him away. I regret that. I've never painted as well, as truthfully.
He lives for the gratification of the senses, Basil. A sensuous life that corrodes most seems to revitalize him. Were you at the costume ball when he came as Anne de Joyeuse in a dress covered with 560 pearls?
I was not.
What a subject it would have made.
If he'd allowed me to paint him, which I doubt.
Oh?
Does he ever show you the portrait? His portrait?
I asked him once, and he flew into such a temper I have never dared ask since.
I haven't seen it for years.
I followed him once into the stews of London, to the doors of vile women, degraded boys. He walked in, greeting them each by name, laughing, touching. I was revolted by it.
Even you?
Even me. He gave up the villa we shared in Trouville. He said something about wanting to be in the same place as his portrait. He rushed home only a month ago from a party in Northamptonshire.
Where is he now, Harry?
Who knows? Gone away again.
Men hate him, you know, sneer at him.
Are afraid of him. Yet his wealth is his security. Society, civilized society at least, is never very ready to believe anything to the detriment of those who are both rich and fascinating. Manners are of more importance than morals. Respectability is of much less value than the possession of a good chef.
You're incorrigible.
One does one's best.
It's as if some poison is infecting him.
Poison comes to a man in many ways, Basil. Think of the Renaissance. You could be poisoned by an embroidered glove, a jeweled fan, a gilded pomander, an amber chain, a book.
Book.
Evil, Basil, may simply be a mode through which to realize beauty.
And I shall pray for him. And for you.
Thank you. Good night. Dorian! What extraordinary luck.
Basil?
I've been waiting for you in your library since 9 o'clock. I particularly wanted to see you.
So now you see me, swirled about in this damn fog.
I go to Paris by the midnight train. I had to visit you before I left.
I believe my house is about here somewhere. And if I can be sure. I haven't seen you in ages. You'll be back soon?
Maybe 6 months, maybe more. I'm taking a studio there. A new project, you know. Something rather big. But it wasn't about myself I wanted to talk.
And as you're here, you better come in. But will you miss your train?
I have lots of time. I sent all my heavy things. All I have is this small bag.
What a way for a fashionable painter to travel. A Gladstone bag and an ulster. Come in or the fog will creep into the house. And no talk about anything serious. Nothing is serious nowadays. At least nothing should be.
Harry said he'd seen you last week.
He never mentioned your leaving for Paris.
No one knows. Not even my servants. I prefer to keep my privacy.
Wise man. Hock and seltzer or whiskey?
No, thank you. I want to speak to you most seriously.
Don't frown like that. I ask you not to be serious, Basil. Whatever it is, let it not be about myself. I'm tired of myself tonight.
It is about you.
No.
I shall only keep you half an hour.
Half an hour?
It's not much to ask, and it's for your own sake, Dorian.
I think it right that you should know that the most dreadful things are being said about you.
I love scandals about other people, but scandals about myself don't interest me. They've not got the charm of novelty.
Dorian, people talk of you as something vile, degraded. I don't believe the rumours. Sin is a thing that writes itself across a man's face. There is no such thing as a secret vice. It shows. In the lines of the mouth, the droop of an eyelid.
Basil, spare me all this.
I paint faces, and I know there is no sin in your face. Yet people whisper such things about you. Why?
They have nothing else to do.
The Duke of Berwick leaves his club when you enter.
Indeed he does.
Why will gentlemen in London neither go to your house nor invite you to theirs?
Perhaps, Basil, they have no taste.
I was at dinner with Lord Staveley, and your name came into the conversation. He said that no pure-minded girl should be allowed to know you. No chaste woman should sit in the same room as you. I told him I was a friend and asked him what he meant by it.
Really, Basil? Why? Why demean yourself?
He told me the most appalling story about you.
It was his cousin's fault. What could I do?
You could deny it.
Lie?
Why is your friendship so fatal to young men?
Why indeed?
That wretched boy in the guards who committed suicide, you were his friend. Henry Ashton, who had to leave England. Lord Kent's only son. I met his father in St. James's Street. He seemed broken with shame and sorrow.
Basil, what do you know about these things? Berwick leaves the room because I know about him. Everything. Ashton and the young Perth. Did I teach one his vices and the other one his debauchery? And if Kent's silly son takes his wife from the streets, what is it to me?
Henry Wotton and you are inseparable, and yet you have made his sister's name a byword.
Take care, Basil.
Lady Gwendolen was never touched by a breath of scandal. Is there a single decent woman in London who would drive with her now in the park? Even her children are not allowed to live with her.
You go too far, sir.
You have been seen slinking out of dreadful houses, disgusting dens in every rookery in London. Do you deny it?
Don't preach at me, sir.
My oldest friend, Lord Gloucester, had a letter from his wife, dying in her villa at Montan. Your name was implicated in the most terrible confession I have ever heard. She is dying, sir, and you smile and shrug. Yet I know you as a thoroughly decent man. Did I know you? Do I know you? I should have to see your soul to answer that.
See my soul?
Only God can do that.
You shall see it, Basil. You shall. You chatter about corruption. Come and see it face to face. Come with me, sir. Bring the lamp and come.
That's for me. Don't say such things. At least deny these charges made against you. Don't tell me you're corrupt, divorced. Dorian.
Don't touch me. Now, you want to read my soul, Basil? You won't have to wait long. What's this room? My old nursery. A room never used, save by me.
I come here to feast my eyes on my soul.
What do you mean?
You insisted. And I shall show you. After all, Basil, you are the one man in the world entitled to know everything about me. Draw that curtain back and look at my soul.
No!
The beautiful, innocent, blooming youth. See the eyes, sodden. The nose no longer chiseled and fine, but bloated with drink. The hands, knotted, clawed. See behind the eyes, darkness. My soul, Basil, my soul.
Oh, God, what does it mean?
When I was a boy, while you were painting that picture, you introduced me to a friend of yours who explained to me the wonder of youth. And when you finished that portrait, it revealed to me the wonder of beauty. In a mad moment, I don't know whether I regret it or not, I made a wish, a prayer, that I would stay young
and grow old. I remember it well, but that's impossible. You told me you had destroyed it.
It has destroyed me!
It's not my picture, it's not mine. I disown it.
Your name is on it. How I hate you for this.
It was the face of an angel.
And now it is the face of a satyr, a soul in hell.
To have done this with your life. You must be worse than even those who talk against you fancy you to be. This is leprous, evil.
You see your ideal in it.
What? As you called it. Pray. Dorian, on your knees and pray with me for your repentance. You will be forgiven if only you ask. The prayer of your pride has been answered. The prayer of your repentance will be answered also. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet I will make them as white as snow.
It means nothing to me, Basil. Sheer sentimentality.
Don't say that. Haven't you done enough evil in your life?
Every night, I come home and see another line.
another vein, another bloated lump of flesh. I hate you for it, Basil. I hate you for it.
Sorry, I am your friend.
I hate you.
No, put that down. No.
To kill you is nothing to what I have done.
No, please. Please, no! 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 No!
Kick and push and go through hell!
More tea, sir?
No, Francis, thank you.
It's a lovely morning, sir. Will you be riding in the park?
Take this note to Mr. Alan Campbell at 152 Hartford Street. If he's not there, find out where he is and take it on. It's important that he reaches him.
Yes, sir.
They've been close. Good friends. Then something occurred. None of us knew what, but Alan Campbell never again stayed in a room in which Dorian held court. Their break was absolute. Alan would turn pale at the mention of his name.
Mr. Campbell, sir.
Thank you, Francis. Show him in at once. Then go to Richmond and collect an order of blue orchids. The usual, man. Take the day off. I have no need of you, and the river is looking lovely.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Campbell, sir.
Thank you for coming, Alan. It's kind of you.
I had intended never to enter your house again.
Sit down, please, sit down.
I still don't really know why I've come. I swore never again to speak to you, Dorian. Never.
Alan, in a locked room at the top of this house, a room to which nobody but myself has access, a dead man is lying on the floor.
Dead?
He's been dead 10 hours now.
I want nothing to do with
who the man is or why he died, how he died, are matters that do not concern you. What you have to
do is... Don't you listen? I entirely decline to be mixed up in your life. Keep your horrible secrets to yourself. I'm not interested.
Alan, I'm awfully sorry, but this will have to interest you. I can't help myself in the matter. I need your skills. I have no option. You know about chemistry and things of that kind. You've made experiments. What you have to do is destroy that thing upstairs.
No.
There's no risk. He is, as far as anyone knows, in Paris for months. Nobody saw him come to my house. You must change him into a handful of ashes that I may scatter in the air.
You're mad. Would I lift a finger to help you? Or peril my reputation again for you? Ask your friend Lord Henry Wotton to help. Nothing will induce me to stir a step to help you. You've come to the wrong man.
Alan, it was murder. I killed him.
Good God.
You don't know what he's made me suffer.
Murder? I'll do nothing for you.
If you found this man on some dissecting room block, you wouldn't turn a hair. You're used to such work, Alan. His body is the only piece of evidence against me. If it is discovered, I am lost. Help me. Please. I beg you. We were friends once.
Those days are dead.
I'll hang for this. I entreat you.
Then hang. I'll do nothing.
I'm so sorry for you, Alan, but you leave me no alternative. Read this note. Before you do, you should know that I have a letter written that I will post. See the address? You are going to help me. Read it, Alan. I tried to spare you, but you've been offensive. And no living man has ever treated me as you have. So it is for me to dictate the terms.
I can't do it. I can't.
You have no choice.
Is there a fire in the room upstairs?
Yes. A gas fire.
I shall have to go home to get some things.
No, you will write a list. We will send for them.
To have gone from corruption to murder, as you have done. To force me to do what I am to do. You disgust me.
Oh, Alan. I wish you had a thousandth part of the pity for me that I have for you.
Careful with the box. Glass and chemicals inside. Take care.
And don't be afraid. There's no one left in the house. My man has gone to Richmond to find my orchid grower. No one else is at home. How long will it take?
I don't know. A few hours. 5 hours, with luck. I don't know.
It's in here. I'll light the lamps and the fire.
Leave me. You give me the key and leave me.
You've saved me from ruin, Alan. I shall never forget that.
Leave me now.
To see him slink into that room, to sit downstairs in my library and read as he went about his work with the corpse, to see the terror in his eyes as he gave me the key to the empty room, to watch my old friend walk broken into the square, was curiously exhilarating.
Henry! How good of you to come.
And how kind of you to introduce your son-in-law. Dorian, how are you? You look a little out of sorts.
I believe he is in love. He is afraid to tell me for fear I will be jealous.
Dear Lady Narborough, I have not been in love for a whole week. Not, in fact, since Madame de Farol left town. Now, there's a woman with an astonishing capacity for family affection. When her third husband died, her hair turned quite gold from grief. How can you, Harry?
Is that all her fault?
Certainly.
I don't believe it.
Ask Mr. Grey. He is an intimate friend. It's true. I asked her whether, like Marguerite de Navarre, she had their hearts embalmed and hung at her girdle. She told me she didn't because none of them had any heart at all.
Four husbands. Upon my word, that's a trop d'audace.
Trop d'audace, I tell her.
What's Sarah like?
The husbands of beautiful women belong to the criminal classes.
That's enough, Lord Henry. You are, as the world says, extremely wicked.
Monstrous the way people go about saying things behind one's back that are absolutely and entirely true.
Excuse me. Mrs. Ernest, how lovely you're looking.
Dorian, you ran off early last night. Did you go straight home?
No, Harry. I didn't get home until nearly two. No, it was three. Maybe.
Did you go on to the club?
Yes. No, I walked about. I forget what I did. How inquisitive you are, Harry. I remember now. I arrived home at 2:15. You may ask the policeman on the Grosvenor Square beat if you want. He saw off a drunk whore. The church clock
struck
quarter.
My dear fellow, as if I cared. What's happened, Dorian? You are not yourself.
Don't mind me. Irritable and out of temper.
We'll talk tomorrow or the next day. Will you make my excuses to Lady Narborough? I don't feel too well.
Can I come with you?
No. I can't deprive Lady Narborough of her favorite guest. I go home, and there is no one here. I feel so restless. I must have the Florentine cabinet moved. The light quite misses the inlay. Open it. Yes.
Where is it? Here. Chinese box. Such promise in the green wax paste. Opium dreams. That smell. Good. Now go out and find suitable company and a pipe and dreams. See that girl in the shadows? I had her when she was a child. See her now, huddled against that weeping wall. What was it Henry said? Cure the soul by means of the senses, and the senses by means of the soul. Well, the soul can rot. Here we are.
Here. Here.
Won't you step here, Gov? It's a leery place.
Go.
Well, if it ain't an old friend come to chase the dragon. Come along with me. Got a nice pallet and decent company. Not as you'll be much bothered about the company when you've the pipe going.
I know the way.
Mind the gutter. It's overflowing. Door on your right. Push it. It's open, mister.
Here.
Hello, darling. Come into the light. Let's see you. Oh, it's you. I told you never to come back.
Who's here?
A few friends. Don't you get nasty with me. And a sailor in the back just drinking. You should know better. We'll be clean by morning. Your friend is up the stairs. He took a pipe in case you came along. I said, Prince Charming's not welcome again. I said, after last time, I had no wish to see him again.
Tell my friend he can rot in hell. I'll go up the wharf and disappoint him. I have no wish for company.
Who was that?
The devil's bargain, I call him, sailor. You want a pipe, sailor boy?
You had a name for him. What was it?
The devil's bargain. Sometimes Prince Charming, he likes that. It reminds him of a girl, he says, and he laughs.
What girl? Who does he say? Tell me or I'll break your arm.
Leave me be, bastard. I'll have you blinded before you can say night. Leave me be.
I'll slice your throat. His name.
Oh, don't dare tell you his name. On my life, I don't. Put that ship away. Put it away. That's a good boy. Where are you going?
Prince Charming and me have got an appointment.
Don't go. Not after him, friend. Not if you value your soul.
Hold still.
What the... Who the devil...
Hold still or I'll snuff you out soon this bit.
What do you want?
Prince Charming. You remember a girl who called you that and you laughed. in that opium hell, you talk about my dear dead sister and laugh, surrounded by whores. Make your peace with God, but tonight you're gonna die.
No!
Her name was Sybil Vane. She killed herself because of you. I swore I'd kill you in return.
You're mad.
You don't deny it. I've searched for you for years. No clue, no trace. Just the pet name she used to call you. I heard it tonight. And you're gonna die.
I never knew her. Never heard of her.
Get on your knees and pray. I'll go rule for India tonight, but first I'll do this job. 1 minute.
How long ago is it since your sister died? Quick, tell me.
18 years. What does years matter?
18 years? Sit me under the lamp and look at my face. Do I look cruel enough? Wicked enough? Old enough to have killed your sister? Look at my face. Look at me.
My God. And I would have murdered you.
You see? So near to committing a terrible, terrible crime.
Forgive me, sir. I was deceived. I mean, a chance word.
Let that be a lesson to you. Now, leave me be.
Dear God.
You fool.
What?
You had him. Why didn't you do him? He's bad as fire.
He's too young. He'd have been little more than a boy 18 years back.
You think so? Prince Charming made me what I am 18 years back.
What?
Believe me, he's the worst that comes into these stews. They say he sold himself to the devil for a pretty face. He hasn't changed in all them years. I have.
That's impossible.
Don't ever tell him I told you. Don't tell. I'm afraid of him. Get the chance again. Kill him for my sake. For your sister, who he sent to her death. He talked of it in opium dreams and laughed. I've heard him.
Rot him to hell. I'll find him. His name?
Prince Charming, the devil's spawn. You want a pretty little girl? I can be a pretty little girl.
His name, damn you!
Dorian Gray.
Dorian was sitting with us in the conservatory of his Northamptonshire home on the first evening of a hunting weekend. Young men in elaborate smoking costumes handed tea cakes to the women. Dorian sat close to the young, pretty Duchess of Monmouth. Her husband, a jaded-looking man of 60, talked to Lady Narborough about the Brazilian beetle he had just pinned into his collection. The mellow light of the huge lace-covered lamp lit up the delicate china, the hammered silver of the service, and the Duchess's white hands and full red lips.
I hope Dorian has told you of my plan to rechristen everything Gladys.
Oh, Harry.
Well, I was thinking chiefly of flowers. Yesterday I cut an orchid from my buttonhole. In a thoughtless moment I asked one of the gardeners its name. Robinsoniana, or something dreadful.
Robinsoniana.
It's a sad truth, Gladys. But we have lost the faculty of giving lovely names to things. Names are everything. That is the reason I hate vulgar realism in literature. The man who would call a spade should be compelled to use one. It is the only thing he is fit for.
Let's talk of someone else.
Our host is a delightful topic. Years ago, he was christened Prince Charming.
Stop that, Harry. It was a long time ago, after all. It is not good for my reputation.
Reputations, like hats, are best made out of nothing, Gladys. To be popular, be a mediocrity.
Oh, no. Women rule the world and can't bear mediocrities. We love with our ears as you men love with your eyes, if you ever love at all.
It seems to me we never do anything else.
Then you never really love, Mr. Gray.
My dear Gladys, how can you say that? Each time one loves is the only time one has ever loved. We can have in this life but one great experience at best. And the secret of life is to reproduce it as often as possible.
Even when one has been wounded by it?
Especially when one has been wounded by it.
All I search for is peace. And if I do not go up to dress, I shall have none this evening.
Allow me to get you some orchids from the end of the conservatory. A moment.
You are flirting disgracefully with him. Take care. for he is very fascinating.
If he were not, there would be no battle.
Greek meets Greek, then?
I'm on the side of the Trojans. They fought for a woman.
And were defeated.
Dorian had leaned close to the curved windows of the conservatory to clip a prized bloom, and then fainted. He was carried to the blue drawing room and laid on the sofa.
Did anyone see what happened?
He was cutting a blue orchid and looked up. There seemed to be a white face pressed against the glass. It was a curious effect. Then he cried out and fainted.
What did he cry out?
I'm not sure. Something about Prince Charming.
Dorian walked alone with the Duchess in the garden the next morning. A crisp frost lay across the lawn like salt. He seemed withdrawn when we met over the breakfast table.
I'm afraid I'm out of sorts, Harry.
It's the thought of shooting those poor innocent birds.
I leave that to the others. They seem to be excited at the prospect.
Killing is such merry sport. Do you think a murderer feels the same delight as a country sportsman?
Harry, stop. Please.
My dear chap, you're quite pale. Did you sleep badly?
I had something of a shock yesterday.
Do you wish to talk about it? Denby said he saw someone looking into the conservatory just before you fainted.
No, absolutely not so. I think I'll take some air after all. If you'll excuse me, you'll find those volumes I mentioned in the library.
Enjoy them, Harry.
On left there.
Oh, morning, my boy. No gun today?
No, Geoffrey. Have you had good sport?
Well, I think most of the birds have gone to the open. I dare say it'll be better after lunch.
I had chosen to walk instead of visiting the library. I was beyond the spinney, well away from the beaters and guns. The keen, aromatic air, the cries of the beaters, the sharp snap of guns fascinated me. Looking across the glade, I saw Dorian smiling and laughing with beaters and hunters alike. He seemed delightfully at ease with himself, dominated by the high indifference of joy. Suddenly, a hare with black-tipped ears erect bolted from a thicket. Geoffrey put his gun to his shoulder. Dorian cried out to him not to shoot. Geoffrey shot.
I've hit a beater. What an ass he is to get in front of the guns. Stop shooting here! Stop shooting! Keep her!
Sir, you are, sir.
Oh, damn it. The man is. Why the devil can't you keep him out of the line of fire?
He's not one of ours, sir.
I walked down to the line of guns as two beaters went into the thicket and retrieved the bloody form which had taken the full charge in its chest.
Dorian, I'd better tell them the shooting stopped for the day. It would not look well to go on. Is the man dead?
Yes, sir.
Damn it, Gray, it looks bad to pepper a beater. The word gets out that a chap is ready.
It was the man's fault.
Come along, Dorian.
We'll walk home. It's a bad omen, Harry. It's as if something horrid was going to happen to us. To me, even.
The only horrible thing in the world is ennui, Dorian. To be tedious is the one sin for which there is no forgiveness. And there is no such thing as an omen. Destiny does not send us heralds. She is too wise or cruel for that.
Cruel, not wise. And here's the Duchess looking like Artemis. Good morning.
I heard all about it, my dear. And poor Geoffrey's terribly upset. I understand you asked him not to shoot the hare, Dorian. I'm curious.
My nerves are dreadfully out of order. Please excuse me, I'll go and lie down.
Do you love him very much?
I wish I knew.
Love always ends at the same point.
Where's that?
Disillusion.
Disillusion was my debut in life.
Well, well. Knowledge would be fatal. It is the uncertainty that charms one, Gladys.
You would sacrifice anybody for the sake of an epigram, Harry.
The world goes to the altar of its own accord.
Sir, are you awake, sir?
Yes, Francis, what is it?
Thornton, sir. The head gamekeeper is waiting.
Send him in.
Sir. See you now.
Mr. Gray?
Thornton, is it about the unfortunate accident?
Yes, sir. The thing is, sir, well, we don't know who the dead man is.
Wasn't he one of your men?
I never saw him before. Seems like the sailor, sir.
The sailor?
Yes, sir. Tattoos on both arms, that kind of thing.
Was anything found on him? Anything that would tell his name?
Some money, sir, and a six shooter. No name. A decent looking man, sir, but rough.
Where's the body?
In an empty stable, sir. Folk here do say it's unlucky to have a corpse in the air.
I'll go to the stables myself. Come with me.
We put him on planks, sir. One of the women laid him out, as well as she could. He might be poor, but he'd a right to a decent laying out.
She did well. Did she put the candle in the jar?
Yes, sir. Yes, and found the kerchief to cover his face in his pocket, sir. So, there he lies. Poor bugger. Shall I remove the...
No, leave me.
Well, you're sure it's not a...
Just leave me. Go.
Sir.
Vane was buried in a pauper's grave and forgotten. In town, life went on. I played cards in the club. I didn't see Dorian for weeks after the accident. Ascot came and went, and Dorian was not seen. Nor did we see him at the opera or the theatre. There was a real mystery to occupy the gossips in the salons and the clubs.
You know Basil Hallward well, Harry.
I see him from time to time. He is not amusing, but he paints well.
Have you heard from him recently?
Basil's a secretive sort of chap.
Seems odd, that's all. It's weeks since he's been seen. They say he went to Rome.
My wife heard it was Paris.
Dorian walked into the card room and looked about. He saw us and walked over to speak with hand outstretched.
Harry, how good to see you.
Dorian!
If you'll excuse me, Lord Henry.
Are you going my way, John?
Good night, Harry.
Good night, Harry.
My apologies, Dorian. Come into the music room and play Schubert for me.
It seems sad when I had quite decided to be good. You're quite perfect as it is.
Why change?
No, Harry. I've done too many dreadful things in my life. I'm not going to do any more. I began my good actions yesterday.
The girl you were seeing in the country, the vicar's daughter, was she unwilling to be corrupted?
She was beautiful. Quite beautiful. I spared her. She was wonderfully like Sybil Vane. You remember the actress? Yeah. How long ago that was.
I remember her. Poor actress. Beautiful child.
Hetty was so like her. Neither of our class, of course. But I loved her. And she was besotted by me. Yesterday she met me in an apple orchard. Blossoms kept tumbling on her hair and she was laughing. We were to have gone away together at dawn.
But you spared her.
I determined to leave her as I found her, innocent as the day.
I should think the novelty must have given you a thrill of real pleasure. You gave her good advice instead and broke her heart.
Harry, you're horrible. She cried, of course, but she can live. Pure. Unsullied.
To be married to some dull ploughman or a doctor's third son.
Harry, stop mocking me. And don't try to persuade me that the first good action I've done for years is really a sort of sin. Now I shall play. You can tell me what is happening in town.
People are still discussing Basil's disappearance.
I should have thought people might be tired of that by now.
Well, the British public is not equal to the mental strain of having more than one topic to discuss every 3 months. They have been very fortunate lately. They've had my own divorce case and Alan Campbell's suicide.
Alan Campbell? How? Did he leave a note?
No. He was a friend of yours at one time, I believe.
An acquaintance, no more. So what do you think has become of Basil?
If he chooses to hide himself, it is no business of mine. He is dead. I don't want to think about him. Death is the only thing that terrifies me. One can survive everything nowadays except death and vulgarity.
Don't people say he was murdered?
Why should he have been murdered? He was not clever enough to have enemies. He was really rather dull. He only interested me once, when he told me years ago that he had a wild adoration for you, and that you were the dominant motive of his art.
I was fond of him.
Basil had no curiosity. It was his chief defect.
What would you say if I told you that I had murdered him?
I would say, my dear fellow, that you were posing for a character that doesn't suit you. All crime is vulgar, just as all vulgarity is crime.
Believe me, Harry.
I'm sorry to hurt your vanity, but I assure you it is not true. It is not in you, Dorian, to commit murder.
I saw a man in Hyde Park last Sunday. He had a little crowd of uncouth Christians about him. He asked them, what was it? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What do you say to that?
Why do you ask me that, Harry?
I thought maybe you could give me an answer.
Harry, the soul is a terrible reality. I know it is.
No.
Don't mock. There is a soul in each of us.
Do you feel quite sure of that, Dorian?
Quite sure.
And then it must be an illusion. The things one feels absolutely certain about are never true.
You are so wrong, Harry.
How serious you are. Play me some Schubert. And while you play, tell me the secret of your youth. You've hardly changed in all the years I've known you.
I am not the same.
How lovely that thing you are playing is. What a blessing it is that there is one art left to us that is not imitative. You know, the tragedy of old age is not that one is old, but that one is young. How I wish I could change places with you. I'm glad you have never done anything, never produced anything outside of yourself. Life has been your art.
Life has been exquisite. But I'm not going to have the same life, Harry. You don't know anything about me. If you did, even you would turn from me.
Oh.
Don't laugh.
You and I will always be friends.
You poisoned me with a book once. Never give that book to anyone. Promise me, it does harm.
You are beginning to moralize, my dear boy. You're too delightful to do that. Art annihilates the desire to act. It is superbly sterile. The books that the world calls immoral are books that show the world its own shame. Come riding tomorrow. Or we can meet our little duchess. Oh, does she bore you already? I thought she might. Say 11. The park is quite lovely now. The lilacs are exquisite.
Very well. 11. Tomorrow. Good night, Harry.
Good night, Dorian.
Harry.
My dear.
No matter.
He walked away into the mist in the street below. I watched from a long window. Saw him vanish into a swirl of yellow fog.
It will change. I will change. I've already changed. Not spoiling that girl's innocence. remembering only the sound of her laughter and a thrush in the orchard and the pale blossom in her hair. Her belief that wicked people are always very old and very ugly. Poor James Vane, the nameless grave. And Alan Campbell, Sybil Vane. God, how pretty she was. How lovely.
Don't leave me. I love you so. Say you love me. Don't leave me alone.
I want so much to become again what I was. How can I when I corrupted myself and others and joyed in it?
Good evening, sir.
Francis, I shan't see you again tonight. I arrive at 11 tomorrow in the park.
Very well, sir. The hock and seltzer is in the library as usual. Good night, sir.
Good night. There are cupids running round the rim of this mirror. How ironic. Harry gave it to me years ago, when I really was beautiful.
The world has changed, my dear, because you are made of ivory and gold. Curve of your lips rewrites history.
Damn this mirror. Damn this beauty which has stayed and marked nothing of time.
Nothing can change what has gone.
To have gone from corruption to murder as you have. To force me to do what I am to do. You disgust me.
I pity you, Alan. But I had no choice. And you took your own life. It was not my doing.
Why is your friendship so fatal to young men?
What do I care for you, Basil? You made me what I am and deserve the knife in your throat. And if Ashton destroyed his father, what was it to me?
Men do as they want. Women do as they are told. Do I care for them?
I wonder if my first act of goodness, letting that country girl go without defiling her, does that show in the picture?
Behind the screen, it must have changed.
It was the pinnacle of my work. I loved him. I would do anything to have it.
Dear God, let me see one mark of goodness and change. If every decent thing I do shows, then one day I can wipe away the horror.
No corruption so vile as this. This thing.
No! It's worse than before. There's blood on my hands. More blood. Glistening. Fresh. How can that be when I let that girl go untouched?
I should think the novelty must have given you a thrill of real pleasure.
Vanity? Was that all it was? That's not true! Vanity? Hypocrisy? To satisfy my own curiosity? No! The blood. It's still wet. Basil's blood. Must I live with his murder forever? Must I confess? Give myself up? That awful face. Those slug-like eyes. Mean, vicious mouth. Always there. Showing myself to myself. Exposing my soul. I'll destroy it. I'll destroy it! The knife that killed the painter. How appropriate to take up the knife again. To cut away this thing in the canvas that infects my life. To slash it to oblivion and free myself. Kill this monstrous soul life and be at peace. Yes. Yes.
I became numb and opened not my mouth, for it was thy doing. Take thy plague away from me.
I have the portrait of Dorian Gray. It's all he left me. It's exquisite. He is there as he was when Basil painted him in the wonder of his youth and beauty. In the attic room, they found a man in evening dress with a knife in his heart. He was withered, wrinkled, and loathsome to look at. It was not until they examined the rings on his bloated fingers that they recognized who it was.
In the final part of The Picture of Dorian Gray by Oscar Wilde, dramatized for radio by Nick McCarty, Jamie Glover played Dorian Gray, Ian McDermid, Lord Henry Wotton, and Stephen Pacey, Basil. The sailor was played by Harry Myers, Alan Campbell, Geoffrey Beavers, Lady Narborough, Tessa Worsley, the Duchess, Alice Arnold, and Thornton, Stephen Critchlow. Francis was Tom George, the woman in the opium den, Elizabeth Bell, and the Duke, Brett Usher. Other parts were played by Gavin Muir, Tilly Gaunt, Edward D'Souza, and members of the cast. Music was composed and played by David Chilton. The pianist was Simon Moorcroft. The Picture of Dorian Gray was directed by Gordon House.